Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
This is the Spurscast with your host, Paul Garcia.
And welcome back to another episode of the Spurscast. On this week's episode, it's going to be a little bit different. So one of our Project Spurs staff members, Evan Townsend, if you all follow him on Twitter, he's really big on the Twitter spaces. Now, I don't usually go on those Twitter spaces. I like to just, you know, usually work here on the Spurscast. But Evan's really plugged in, and he likes to talk, you know, to a lot of people there on the on this Twitter Spaces, and so it's just it's like an outlet that he likes to use. And so he did ask me to come on and be a guest on his Twitter Spaces. We actually used the Project Spurs one, but then there was some technical difficulties. So anyway, he had actually asked me a few questions before, so I was able to prep and get some notes and get things ready to discuss with him on that Twitter Spaces. And he actually had some really good questions, especially about all different avenues of the salary cap as it pertains to the Spurs, with players and contract extensions, trade, hypothetical trades, free agent signings, hypothetical, some of the Spurs-specific players, the draft coming up. So there's a lot of different avenues that he and I discussed in this conversation. And so I thought it was really informative. And so that's what we're going to do is I'm going to basically here in a second, I'm going to let you all listen to that conversation if you didn't have a chance to, and listen to our discussion where Evan asked me the questions and I kind of answer regarding some of the salary cap elements for the Spurs. So before we get into that, I do want to that conversation, we can listen to it. I do want to go into some specific topics that we discussed, just to kind of give you a quick preview, and also some more detailed information if I didn't discuss it in that conversation with Evan. So one of our topics we discussed is that what the possible extension could look like for Devin Vassell if he and the Spurs agree to an extension. One note that I made that I didn't discuss with Colin Reed a few weeks ago when he and I broke down the new rules of the new CBA that's going to be coming into place on July 1st is that even if the Spurs don't sign Devin to a max extension, they can now offer him at least, up to 5 years. So in the previous CBA, a player on a rookie scale contract could only get up to 4 years if it was an amount lower than the max. Well, now in this new CBA, the player can be offered up to a 5-year extension, even if the salary is not going to be at the max level. So that's going to be one new bit of information that I haven't discussed here, the Spurscast. And again, I'll go into more detail there in the conversation with Evan. We also discussed Trey Jones entering restricted free agency, or a scenario where the Spurs could actually prevent him from going to restricted free agency by agreeing to a contract extension with Trey Jones before June 30th. So that's another kind of conversation that we discussed is, you know, there's a chance of Trey Jones going to restricted free agency, or the Spurs again can't agree with it. If he and the Spurs come to an agreement, they he doesn't have to go to free agency. They could actually sign him to a new deal before July 1st gets here. We also discussed exactly when the Spurs can start making trades. So there's two different timelines. There's the 2022-23 season, which is from now until June 30th, or there's the new timeline that begins once the moratorium is lifted on July 6th. So I get into more detail there on that question. We discussed Keldon Johnson's new extension kicking in this coming season, where he's going to make $20 million in the first year of the new deal. And then it goes to like $20 million for Keldon, and then $19 million in 24-25, and then $17.5 million in 25-26. So we'll discuss Keldon's new contract. Also, we're going to discuss some hypothetical trades and free agent signings that Evan asked me about. And then lastly, one note I wanted to make mention is, because I don't know if we're going to get to this part of the conversation, is the one element both Colin Reed and I found. We were reading some of the key highlights from the new CBA agreement that he and I got from the NBA, was that there is, even though they said that this new penalty where basically teams that didn't meet the salary cap minimum, they were going to be penalized, of not getting that tax distribution. Well, they said they would hold off one year of the league. But there was one note in there that said that if you don't meet the salary, basically the salary floor in this coming season, you will only get 50% of the tax distribution. So again, that means that there is a kind of like a penalty for a team that doesn't spend their cap space. And the reason why we bring this up with the Spurs is because in this current season, 22-23, they still have about $22.1 million in cap space still sitting there, and they didn't quite meet that salary floor. So next season, if they do that same approach, then they can be penalized where they're only going to get a 50% tax distribution, according to this new CBA that the NBA is going to release on July 1st. And so, again, I hope that you enjoy this conversation that Evan and I discussed here on this latest episode of the SpursCast.
Oh, super sorry for the wait. Super sorry for the wait. We've been trying to set this up for a good while now. You've been with Project Spurs pretty much since the beginning. You are the cap space guru, the guy that always comes with the stats, the analytics, holds everything. You're right on point every single time. We always count on you. It's been a long time since we talked, man. Thank you again for taking the time to talk to us. Tell people more about yourself, how you got started, when you first joined Project Spurs, all that jazz. And then,
Yeah, so it's been a while, man. So what's this year? 2023. So I started covering the Spurs back in 2011. So 12 years ago, man. Yeah. So, yeah, I just started blogging on the side, and the great Michael DeLeon, who unfortunately passed away last year, found me on online, and then he kind of reached out to me, and then, he got my foot in the door, working with Project Spurs, and getting credentials, covered the team for multiple years in San Antonio, and then I recently moved away from San Antonio this past season, so, I'm just covering from abroad now, from afar, but still keeping tabs on the team right now. I'm working on my cap sheets and things like that, and it's just it was a different season this past one just because they've always been competitive, and this is the first year where they were going for that full rebuild, and so that was definitely a different experience.
You hear that, guys? He said full rebuild. First year. Just kidding. Paul, shout out to you. Your work is so very appreciated. And so thank you again, man. You, like you said, you're a busy guy. You moved out to El Paso, correct?
Yep, out here in the mountains in El Paso, Texas.
That's right. Sorry for not any information like that. Sorry about that. But we're just going to go ahead and get started. We will have questions at the end. This will be a very, very short space. I do have to wrap things up really like in around 20 minutes or so. We're just going to knock these questions out. Paul, I DM'd you a good handful of them before we got started a couple days ago. So if you want to refer back to that list. First things first, a lot of people forget your rookie needs to get extended if he wants to play for the team long term, if he wants to feel wanted and needed. And, that time has come for no other than Devin himself. You take the time to do all the research, look at the most he can get, the least he can get, when that date is, when the deadline is passed. So tell the people when, they could probably expect, the star shooting guard, what kind of bat he can be expecting, so on and so forth.
Okay, so yes. So when he can be extended starts after the moratorium, which is on July 6th, up until the first game of the regular season. So usually, right mid-October. Now, the Spurs usually wait until that October deadline to do this. They did that with DeJounte Murray, Derek White, the other players. However, we saw a reverse last year where Kelden actually got his extension very early in free agency in July. So I'm assuming since they're probably going to be headed down that route, it would probably happen pretty early in free agency, sometime in July. Now, how much can Vassell get? Since he's on his rookie scale contract, he can get up to the max, which is $33.5 million. But, he's not expected to get that level of salary because he's not quite an all-star kind of player or all-NBA level player just yet. So Bobby Marks of ESPN is a great person to refer to and look at his research. And so he says that a new deal for Devin could start in the $17 million range. Now, again, that's just the starting point. I think that the Spurs would be comfortable and maybe Devin too, somewhere like in the $22 to $25 million range, because you want to try to lock him up now at one of those kind of salaries, because next summer, if they don't get an extension, he could be a restricted free agent with a max of $35.2 million in year one.
Wow. So you mean to tell me that Devin Vassell, year four Devin Vassell, where people take their usual, I want to say all-star leaps, but when you start separating, okay, the trajectory from 5-6 points per game every single year in terms of growth, he's going to turn into a 24-point per game guy in some people's eyes. And that means that it's going to be an all-out dog fight for him in free agency. I know it's restricted free agency, but yeah, the Spurs, that window from, you said July 6th until the start of the season, you really need to lock that up. And then the contract is more than likely probably going to be, just in my opinion, if they want to showcase, hey, we love how what you're doing. You're pretty much like a set piece in terms of the Spurs rotation, whether he's going to be a starter for the long term, whether he's going to be a sixth man. I know that may sound crazy, but literally when it comes down to the Spurs actually competing, Wimby, year two, year three, you're stacking up on multiple lottery picks on all these years. It's the next man up. And if he's going to be solidified in that Derek White, remember the Derek White contract, the DeJounte contract, all in that $17, $18 million tier, you really need to stamp him and put as much money in his pocket as soon as possible. The Keldon Johnson Keldon Johnson contract, we'll talk about that in a second, it goes down. It was $20 million, then it goes down to 18, then to 16, correct, if I'm not mistaken, over the next few years?
Yeah, so $20 million this coming season, then it goes down to 19, and 24, 25, and 17.5. And let me throw one more thing in why the Spurs are getting lucky if they can get an extension with Devin locked up right now. Because with this new CBA that's going to get ratified, and once it officially goes through, they will actually go to offer him a five year extension. Whereas in the previous CBA, you could only get a 5 year extension if you were going to get a max. Now they don't have to give him a max salary; they can actually give him those 5 years, and it doesn't have to be at the max with this new change in the CBA.
That change in the CBA kicks in when exactly?
Whenever they officially so it's been ratified, and the NBA has I don't really know if the exact date. They're going to have it done though before July 1st because the NBA has officially put out their statement of the key points. I would say though it's going to be before probably the draft. They'll have it ready.
Perfect. Next up on the itinerary for it's going to ruffle a lot of feathers. And if you want to request, feel free to request at the very end. But we have to talk about Trey Jones. Trey Jones is split right down the middle. Fans love him, fans hate him. Just from not having an outside shot, just from not literally willing to take a mid-range pull-up. And so literally the last 10 games of the season, Trey Jones is a perfect backup on a contending team. He's a starter on the worst on the worst team in the NBA. Keep them thumbs down. It's okay, guys. It's all right. I love you guys. So when it comes down to Trey, his restricted free agency bag and worth may surprise a lot of people. There are multiple suitors in terms of a lot of just the media guys I've talked to around the league. A lot of people are saying that it may not be an all-out dogfight for his worth, but in all honesty, Paul, you have to break down what's the most the Spurs can offer Trey Jones and what's the least they can offer him, knowing that he started a certain amount of games. And I forgot what that is, but I know you do.
So, yes, the qualifying offer that they're gonna make to him, it will be before June 30th. It's going to be $6.3 million because he did meet a starter criteria. So that's actually increased a little bit. And so that's kind of like your baseline where the Spurs can tender him that qualifying offer, then they can basically let him go see, can he go get more from another team? And if not, you know, he can accept that qualifying offer and stay on San Antonio for one season at that amount, $6.3 million, and then become an unrestricted free agent next season, or he can try to find a deal. Now, his range is a little bit tougher to project, because like you said, Evan, he'd be a good backup point guard on a really good team, whereas on this, you know, this rebuilding team like the Spurs, you know, it's fine that he gets the starter minutes for now. So I would say his projection would be somewhere in that, like, tax MLE range, which is going to be $5 million, to less than the non-tax MLE, which is $12.2 million. So I'd say like $5 to $7 million is a pretty safe number, or if you got to go a little bit above that. Now, here's one thing: he may not even become a free agent, and the reason why is because the Spurs have until June 30th to sign him to an extension. They can sign him up to a four-year extension. The most they can give him in 1 year of that extension would be $15.1 million. Now, I'm not saying they're going to give him $15 million in this new extension, but I'm just saying I think it's really going to have to deal with the draft and the lottery. If they know for sure that they're missing out on Wemby, and they're gonna get Scoot Henderson, well then maybe not as aggressive in trying to bring Trey back. But if they get the number one pick and they know for sure they're gonna get Wemby, well then I think that maybe, hey, yeah, let's try to lock up Trey before he even goes into free agency there on July 1st. So I really think the lottery and the draft will have a lot to do with that. And again, as far as his value, where teams are looking at him, again, I'd say 5 to 8, definitely not. So again, your baseline there is $12.2 million via non-tax MLE. Again, I don't think teams are going to give them that entire amount, but they could go a little bit below that. So that's why I say like $5 million to somewhere like that $8-9 million range. I don't really know where the cutoff is.
Does Trey Jones say $8-9 million? I'll take that. Minnesota. heard Denver calling. Teams like the Clippers. Teams like Washington. There's going to be a lot of suitors for Trey Jones, and I get it. He's not the fancy style of play, not that everyone loves, but that just sells tickets, that sells jerseys. In terms of being a table setter that's not going to take the wrong shot, that was a good flow game. Okay defender, not the best, is Trey Jones. I don't have the numbers from three of the last 10 games. Apparently, they vastly increased his shooting percentage to close out the year. But all I got to say is Trey Jones a starting level center for a contending team? No. Is he a starting level center for a team that is probably going to be in the center of the NBA with Victor Wembanyama in their starting lineup? Yes. What's so wild to me, Paul, is that if you extend him, that 4 years is, oof. Can the price go up over the years, or is it the four and it's the six all across for those 4 years?
There's a percentage of raises. So like I think it's like 8% raise or something like that. Each year can increase in the extension wherever you start the baseline. So again, I think that the starting baseline is right there, like at 6.3, because that's his qualifying offer, and then he's kind of go from there.
Gotcha. You know, we gotta move on from the Trey Jones talk. I've never seen more thumbs up or thumbs down in a minute. No, but hey, guys have their own opinion on these guys, and I honestly cannot be the one to change that. I've learned that the long arm, where I can sweat, I can try, I can pull up all the stats, I can compare, I can give you all the options. Hey, it is all good. Love everyone in this chat. When it comes down to a lot of potential moves the Spurs can make, there's pretty much a halt on that. And the next question I have for you, Paul, you refer to the list, is when the Spurs can actually make trades. When is that start date? And what's the? Well, I'm just gonna wait on the next part of the question. It's gonna stir things up.
Yeah.
When is that start date?
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
So they could technically start now with any team that's already been eliminated from the playoffs. Now that usually doesn't happen. Teams just wait till the playoffs are officially over or around lottery time and draft time. So again, it's rare that would happen now. But again, they can't start negotiating with teams if they needed to that are officially out of the playoffs. When we still get deals get done though, is usually right around draft time or right before June 30th, which is when the current season expires. So again, if they can make a move right now in this 22-23 season, and right now they do have $22.1 million in cap space for this current season. So again, that $22.1 million, it changes once we get to July 1st. So we actually saw something like this last year when they actually made the DeJounte Murray trade with Jock Landale included. They actually did that in the previous season, even though it was July, it was like June 24th or something like that. So again, we might see them do that if they're going to make a trade around draft time. So again, that's like a normal thing to see. Now, as far as other trades, then if they want to use the salaries that are going to be involved for next season, the 23-24 season, those trades can't take place until after the moratorium lifts on July 6th. So again, there's kind of two different timelines that they can make trades. It'll be around draft time if we're going to use this season's salaries, or after July 6th for using next season's salaries.
We're going to skip the next subject and get right into the next year's salaries, because that's the perfect leeway and bridge to that. Next year's salaries, so when you want to refer back to what I was talking about, it's pretty much just bringing back all the troops. I'm talking Mamu, Don Barlow. That's crazy, I said that. Mamu, Don Barlow, KBD, Champagne. Guys that literally exceed expectations to close out the season, as you can get on cheap deals. Now, the problem that we run into, Paul, is that a lot of these guys can't be on two-way contracts, correct?
So Barlow and Champagne can, because they have a qualified offer to come back on two-way contracts, because they've only played 1 year. The other guys, yeah, most likely not.
So that factors into a lot when it comes down to the draft. You know, a lot of fans want the Spurs to move up. The assets of Devontae Graham, even Calvin Johnson, we'll talk about him in a second. They can possibly, you know, maybe swing a one or two trades to open up a roster spot. But when it comes down to it, the question that I have for you is, can the Spurs even afford to bring back everyone? I'm talking, like I said, KBD, Don Barlow, and then I have a free agent, just a sneaky free agent that we I'm just gonna for recorded spaces with that. This is supposed to be a Project Spur space, right? But it's for me, right? Any Project Spur space, I will 100% make sure I have a good cited source to make sure I have whatever free agent I talk about. I have a source to go right with it, and that source and that player is Delano Banton. Delano Banton has been stuck under the bridge, under the Toronto 6'9 bridge, for a good while, for a good two seasons now. The Nebraska guard, as a point guard, a little taller, a little bit more swifter on his feet than a lot of people. His height and his frame can move mask around $7 million. I threw in that number in there just so they can sign one person. And if they bring back Trey Jones, people don't like that. If they were to bring back Blake Wesley, not obviously just, you know, he's obviously resigned. You weren't gonna trade him, right? Delano Banton is that last. He's not requiring minutes. He probably can be thrown into Austin a little bit for just a little bit of retooling, just the NBA speed, earn his minutes, earn his sweat equity, as people like to sweat, people like to say. Some people don't like to hear that, but I threw that name out there just to add one person, and then everyone else is brought back. I want you to tell what the difference is between that cap space now and the cap space then. And this is, what, a month from now, 2 months from now? Wimpy is on this team, so that is the number one pick. That is around $10 million, correct, Paul? If I'm mistaken?
First time. Yeah, Wimpy's going to be at, so let's just say that he'll get a salary of $11.9 million.
Wow, new CBA. And then I just want you to go over how much that is, how much that payroll is, because we had a cap floor we had to meet, and just bringing back everybody for the cheap deals, not swinging on the big name free agents that may or may not want to be in San Antonio. We take what we can have. So do you want to share what that number is?
Yeah. So
our bodies come in different shapes and sizes. So doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Okay, so I put the last scenario that you had sent me. So this is saying they have Trey Jones, Blake Wesley, Banton, Vassell, Branham, Champagne on a two-way, Keldon, Doug. Is this the one you wanted me to talk about if they were to make a high-speed trade?
Yes.
Okay, so let's just say they got rid of Devontae Graham's contract along with those two second-round picks, and they acquired the 20th pick. They still have Sohan. They're resending Kade Bates-Joff, Mamu, Dominic Barlow's on a two-way. You got Wemby, Zach Collins, and Charles Bassey. Okay, this scenario. And at the rates that you had sent me that the players are signing for, they still have about $22.5 million in cap space in this scenario. And so, like, in a lot of these scenarios that you sent me, Evan, it's, like, hovering around 21 to, like, $27 million. And just different scenarios. Again, we don't know exactly what Kade Bates-Joff would be signed for, what Mamu would sign for, Trey Jones. And then even Banton, I wouldn't even think they would need to get, you know, $6 or $7 million. I think they can get him even a little bit lower just because he's coming off the minimum contract and doesn't look like it's a priority for Toronto to sign him. And he has a very low qualifying offer with the Raptors at like $2 million.
So you mean to tell me this was a trick question to everybody? I got all of y'all with a thumbs down. I tricked all of y'all. I'm sorry. I tricked all of y'all. Theoretically, the Spurs have so much cap space, and if they want to make like the small steps towards making not the play-in, but just getting out the cellar of the NBA. They have options. The options galore. They don't have to rush it. One, if Wimby comes to town, you can say, oh, man, it's not a max contract, but you have a lot of money to mess with, and you could still trade Calvin Johnson. I wanted to go with multiple picks, all the picks galore. So when it comes down to it, Paul, the last thing we conclude with before we open the floor to everybody is trading Keldon Johnson. What that looks like. His new $20 million contract kicks in exactly when?
So that new salary begins on July 1st. Once the new season starts on July 1st.
July 1st. My birthday is July 2nd. I'll be 27. If Keldon Johnson is traded before then, I don't know what I'm going to do, but we will figure it out. Anyways, Keldon Johnson, I love him. Love him to death. In terms of being the face of the franchise after the whole Primo debacle, right? Some people should have brought that up. Anyways, Keldon Johnson has done no wrong in my eyes that he can handle. That he can handle. He is not the first option on any team. He's not the second option on any team. But what did he do? He consistently played and he consistently took 20 shots, around 20 shots all season long. Really can't play defense. Inconsistent from three. When he's hot, he's 40, 48, 47% leading the league right behind Steph Curry. Right before January last season. Unbelievable. And the number of threes, second behind Steph Curry. Unbelievable. And then it's just, oof, Christmas, rodeo road trip. Oof. You forget he's 6'6". Oof. You forget he can't. And at the end of the day, he's the last clutch client on this roster. Now, all I did on that note that I sent you, Paul, was trading Keldon Johnson and what that looks like. You broke down his contract already. In terms of the money the Spurs can soak in, do you think it's possible? This twiddling fingers here. I love everyone in this chat. All respect to anyone's point of view. Do you think it's possible? Keldon Johnson, Hicks, Devontae, and maybe another asset. I don't want to throw any names. Let's just say Blake Wesley. Right? Let's just say Blake Wesley. Do you think that can be enough to swing? This name has to be very. I have to be very careful with his name here. I can't say Jaylen Brown. Aquan, leave me alone, bro. We can't be tweeting at me like this. I'm not gonna say John Collins. Good heavens, though. God, no, that ship has sailed. But the type of player, this is the question, the type of player that falls into that category, that type of package would have to be not only a scrub, one, and or a prospect or a pick, because the Keldon Johnson plus somebody else plus Devontae, but that's another 2 years on top of that, who's not really an asset, he's not really a liability, it's just Devontae Grant for 2 years. You can put him on the bench if you want to, but you're going to pay for it. Right, some teams may have the money for that. Some teams like Charlotte may want to bring him back just for the culture, just for the vibes. But man, if you swing and miss on suitors, you are really stuck with another DeJounte Murray type of package, a Derek White type of package, a Thaddeus Young type of package. I just think it's impossible to swing for a max level type of guy. That's all I got to say. Paul, do you think it's possible? You're the cap guy. You could say they could take on $40 million. I can tweet that, and then everyone's going to say, we're getting Giannis. How much money can we take on? And we're going to wrap things up and get to questions.
Okay, so let me actually plug these in real quick, just the scenario that you're talking about here. Okay, so let's just say that they're – so let me see here. 1 second. Trey. So are we seeing that they're bringing Trey Jones back and Mom and all these guys, or what are we saying here?
Yes, that's a given scenario.
Okay, I'll just keep Trey's number in there. Let me take a Gordy. Delete. Let's see. Let's put Kato. Let's just say $5 million. Just as a guess. Borrow's count. Sorry, doesn't count. He's got some count. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Okay, so we're trading Keldon. So right now, we're trading Keldon. Let's just say we're trading Devontae Graham. All right, so they're at 50. I mean, let me just. Before I say that number, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Yeah, that's 12 players. Okay, so right there, they're at $56.5 million. And again, this is it's a lot of money. You can cover any kind of max player. You can cover from a low end max player, a young player, should I say, 0 to 6 years, like $33.5 million is their max, or a 10 year plus vet, $46.9 million. But again, the hard thing about this is you're having to find that team that's acquiring Keldon and Devontae, or those multiple teams that are acquiring those two players. And then, you know, and exactly like you said, you know, who are they getting back and what is that player's salary? That's going to take some of it. I would just say they're flexible for trades just because they already have open cap space before even making trades. And then if they trade players with big salaries like Keldon, like Devontae Graham, that just makes it even more flexible for them.
It's just insane to think that at one point, DeJounte Murray had enough leverage to tweet, "Oh, coach, go get, front office, go get Zach LaVine. Go get my Seattle brother. You know what? Let's just trade for DeAndre Ayton. He's unhappy." We would have been capped out. And if we didn't pull that trigger, and if we didn't appease to our replacement all-star, defensive liability in Atlanta, now, it's crazy. Figure the words. We will be stuck. But now, we are the worst team in the NBA without a first option solidified. We are banking to the lottery gods. And we will have the most cap space in the league, ladies and gentlemen. Give it up. Give it up. For Brian Wright, give it up. Give it up. Love to see it. Love to see it. Now, at the top of my head, I think that this is a good way to wrap this up, unless anybody wants to come up and say their piece. When it comes down to these spaces, guys, this is all just informative. There's a lot of narratives that get pushed with that aren't even applicable. You can't even literally, oh, we got one, two, here we go, good Lord. I'm at the mute, guys. Before I let anybody talk, we do have to wrap this up in about 5 minutes, if we can. I'll answer any question. Paul, if you do have to go, these spaces kind of get a little raunchy, kind of get a little raunchy every now and then, but I'm going to pass it to Quan. Quan, how are you? Everyone loves Quan. Feel free to ask any question you have. We were going back and forth on the timeline earlier. You know, it's all love between me and you. What's going on, man? How are you?
What's up, Evan? It's a good space, man. And a big shout out to you, Paul. I know that you've been, I remember following you whenever I was deployed overseas in 2012, and you were running video screens of Excel spreadsheets, bro. So you're doing a good job, bro. Keep up the work, man. I'm curious, Paul, though, what your thoughts are about it. You know, it seems like there's a number of restricted free agents of all kinds of different calibers. There's obviously a ton of variables that go into this, you know, depending on where the Spurs actually get. What, I guess, just from a number sheet makes more, you know, is there a certain number of these guys that it makes sense? Well, you know, you bring back three or four of them, whether it's Champagne or whether it's a more high-priced guy like Trey Jones. I've heard that Romeo Langford's got a pretty high qualifying offer that he would have to be extended that might lock up some cap space. Poor dude's been injured. I'm just curious if you have any personal opinions or thoughts on the number of guys that would make sense maybe for the Spurs to bring back. I'm not going to be typical Quan today. I'm just going to be business. But good job, Evan, and thanks, Paul, for taking the question.
Yeah, no, I think there's a number. That's the thing. It looks like they want to bring a lot of these guys back, but then they're really limited on roster space. I think Trey Jones is a safe bet where they're going to at least try to bring him back. Mamu had a really good end to the season, and again, his contract shouldn't be more than just a little bit more than the minimum. Luckily, Barlow and Champagne can probably be brought back on two-way deals. I do think that they would probably move on from Romeo Langford because, like you said, he has a high qualifying offer, $7.8 million. And that's just a qualifying offer. On their cap sheet, it comes out at $16.9 million until he decides what decision he's going to make. So I think that, yeah, there's a good chance they could bring some of those guys back. But like you said, they are limited on roster space. And so we don't know exactly what route they're going to go with. I did want to know something I forgot to say, Evan, earlier was that this is a year where they can't be like they did this current year, where they're like $22.1 million below the minimum the team salary. They actually have to reach that because even though they're not going to get the full, they're going to get still some money for not meeting it. There is some penalty. So basically what the new CBA says is that the team, if you're below the minimum salary floor by the end of next season, you're only going to get a 50% tax distribution. So unlike last season where we saw the Spurs kind of sit on that cap space, there is more incentive for them to, there's money at stake here that they need to actually spend that cap space, whether it's re-signing players, going out and finding free agents, making trades. So I think we are going to see a little bit more of an aggressive front office in this coming season.
You heard it here first. Spurs are going to be aggressive.
First of all, let me say, Evan, guess what? You'll be a trash GM if you're talking about bringing back all these people. That is trash. Paul, so believe it or not, Spurs, I got a question. Paul, so the Spurs have to spend money this year, correct?
Yeah. They have to get to $20.6 million this year out of that $134 salary by the end of the year.
Paul, if they don't hit the floor, does that revenue get distributed back to the players? I feel like that happened with Oklahoma City last year. Is that a threshold they have to hit, or else that money kind of gets divvied up, or what happens if they don't hit that floor?
So in the previous CBA, like the one that the Spurs are currently going into, again, if they don't make a trade with that current $22.1 million in cap space for this current season, 22-23, yes, I believe that it's going to get distributed amongst the players on the team. Next year, though, they did make a change where if you don't need it, they're going to distribute it league-wide. Let me read it exactly. It says, the team will be required to pay the difference to the NBA with the amount distributed to all players in the NBA. So, yeah, it is going to change next year once that new CBA kicks in.
Hey, Paul, it's Brandon talking. I have a question about the salary cap and how it's connected with the lottery. Hopefully, yes, getting a good pick. But hypothetically speaking, if we do get the number one overall pick or number two overall pick, how do you think the difference in which we spend money would be if we get a Wembanyama versus if we get a Scoot Henderson?
That's a great question. That's one that I kind of been thinking about. I think that the front office has maybe two different philosophies. If you have Wemby, I think that, you know, do they try to this offseason try to find players that are going to fit with him in his timeline, you know, to start competing, not next year, but the next, you know, 2 to 3 years? Do they try to find free agents like shooters, players with space around him? Or if they get a lower pick, you know, 2 through whatever range, 2 through 7, then are they just kind of say, okay, let's just use this as another rebuilding year where maybe they're not as aggressive and more so using their cap space to take in contracts like we saw this past year for draft assets. So I think you're right, where there is definitely a different mindset with getting Wemby compared to the other rookies that are going to be coming in.
Thanks for taking my question.
Mm-hmm.
And the salary that Scoot has, what? It's around 9 or 10?
Let me pull it up. So Scoot would be at number two. He would be at $10.7 million. So about $1.2 million less than Wemby.
He'll be all right. He has a Puma deal. Money's just fine. He's good. When it comes down to when it comes down to the Spurs and their trade options and who they would bring in, obviously, you know, with or without Pop still here, who knows if he's going to be back another year. He has to be signed another contract. There's so many players, prospects that you say, doesn't really fit the Spurs way. Could fit, but probably is going to get bought. There's not a lot of options in terms of guys off the top of my head, people that I've talked for months and months, that aren't just a repeated spin cycle of just saying the same thing. So what is in this and say, we will wait and see. Literally the lottery is in a few weeks. When it comes down to trading, I do feel that the Spurs will move into the first round with one of the two second.
Evan,
I guess.
Let me ask you this question.
Sorry, yeah,
you say you want to get rid of Kevin. Yeah. Who do you want to take a spot?
Sohan, the small forward. Someone that can actually guard star wing. Someone that actually is 6'8".
Co-sign that tweet.
Yeah. When it comes down to Kelvin, you know, Devin Vassell isn't a plus one team defender, plus one on-ball defender. He's not necessarily a cone, but you can't have a negative defender and Kelvin Johnson next to him on your wing. Trey Jones, okay, solid. We talked about that earlier. Blake Wesley will need some improvements. The X factor is Kelvin Johnson because every single team will either target him or Dunn McDermott when they're on the lineup. And you can, you know, say, let's run a pick and roll, switch everything, blah, blah, blah. It's not going to work. He's not 6'8", and he's not too robust like that. So that $20 million is a little stiff for me. I don't want to trade for Duncan Robinson. I do not want to trade for Tim Hardaway Jr. I do not want to trade for someone that gets bought out. I don't know who they're going to trade for. It'll probably be a signing trade, in all honesty. And I don't know what that's going to look like. But my gut feeling, my gut feeling is really saying that the Spurs are going to trade up to the first round if they were going to get Wimby or if they get Scoot. Because they need to grab one of those star-level rim-protecting centers, not Derek Lively. Derek Lively's freaking projectile has just shot up. He's going to go maybe top 17, 16. He was a second-round guy a couple weeks ago, 3-4 weeks ago. It's insane. So Derek Lively's not on the board, okay? There's guys like James Naje, who's probably going to be the fringe end of the first round. Deron Holmes, we don't know what he's going to do. We don't know what that man is going to do. He's not going back to Dayton, I'll tell you that. Adam Bona is kind of he didn't get a lot of playing time. You say late towards the end of the season. A lot of people are kind of questioning that of what happened. He was injured, coaching, attitude. We'll see what's up with that. But you need someone alongside with or without Scoot, either a forward, a wing, the Toolsy wings, the Ryan Repairs, the Bilal Kalabalis, the City Sissokos, Leonard Millers, either one of those guys can fit what the Spurs need. And Tavares, it's all love to me and you. It's so funny people still think we're related. It's hilarious. It's hilarious, man. People hate the idea of running everything back with the Spurs. Running everything back means you're the worst team in the league again. But at the end of the day, overspending on guys, overspending possibly on like a Naz Reid, right? Say you have to trade Zach LaVine. Say you have to trade Zach Collins just to move up. The team is picking, and the Spurs give in, and you finally get Zach Collins to move up 15, 20 spots in the draft, right? You get a guy like Zach LaVine. Okay, not Zach LaVine. You get a guy like Naz Reid, $17, $18 million. Cool. He's hurt after 20, 30 games, or you want to tank because no one's exceeding expectations. No one took that step. Wimby got hurt. Worst case scenario, you overpay and you're stuck with guys. And when you're the Spurs, you can look at the last 4 years. Don't look at the last GM. Don't look at that before Kawhi. Think about what the GM is doing right now. We've won trades, necessarily. We haven't lost trades, but the trades are all the same. It's for Thaddeus Young, and for Thaddeus Young, a scrap. And it's for guys that don't want to be in the situations and guys that aren't fit on anyone's key rotation. That's a bar, low key. Anyways, when you think about it, no one is going to get traded for a while. But all the types of scenarios that we thought of is going to be something that we've never even considered. So, you know, I love everyone in this chat. I appreciate everyone for tuning in. I do have to go now, but we'll be back maybe even up to tomorrow. I got some OKC people I have to talk to. We're going to talk to them, see what they have planned. And we're going to see what a real rebuild looks like. MySpace is a little different for Project Spurs, but we're going to see what a real rebuild looks like, Paul. It is all love between me and you, man. I love every single thing that you do for Project Spurs. We are keen without you. Appreciate you for doing all of what you do. Tavares, Quan, Mike, everyone for listening. Brandon, Gabriel, I'm going to name everybody. Rob, JD, Austin, Grant, Sarah, who else? Marfa, Mark, Tuff, Lestat, Z-Man. I'm not going to say that name because it's inappropriate. Jose, Adam, everybody. You could be with anywhere else in this world. It's dinner time. And you're listening to me and Paul talk about the Spurs. So we'll be back possibly tomorrow. Follow everyone on stage. Follow Paul. We'll be back. See you guys. Appreciate y'all.
All right. Later.
Thank you.
All right. I want to say thank you again to Evan for inviting me on his Twitter Spaces and for all the questions that he sent and the conversation that we will have and go in different directions. And I also want to say thank you to Joe Garcia for mixing and producing this episode. Mixing and producing this episode. So from all of us at Project Spurs, stay safe. Have a great day.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.